The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, May 24th. It is the offseason. We are rolling right through it, and it's time for another mailbag. John Breach, not here. He's taken 7 weeks of vacation, unauthorized by people in the office. And so it's just me and Ryan Wilson to break down a mailbag for you. Wilson, can you believe this guy's leaving during a critical period, critical NFL period?
Yeah, it is quite funny and ironic that you mentioned that when last Wednesday you were on the schedule release night. I rushed home from my old man soccer game, Breach at 12 hours of live blogging, Brinson throwing back beers with Pudge Rodriguez at a Georgia golf course. So, yes, I understand your point.
Coming up this week, we will have NFC win totals in the feed. You can check out AFC win totals. Basically, we did a division by division reset. And this will dovetail nicely to the first question that we're being
asked. Let me ask you this quickly. I haven't listened to that podcast yet. I'm going to do it right after we get done here. Can you give me a sneak peek of what the Steelers win total?
Well, we have Brian DiArdo on. And so the Steelers win total is 9. I think he likes the over.
Eesh, that's close.
He was extremely optimistic about the Steelers season.
He is extremely optimistic about the Steelers, which is what you need in Steelers fans. Sometimes
I'm going to tell you, I love the Najee Harris pick. I'm like, well, yeah, that's fine.
I do too.
You do?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? He's awesome.
Running back in the first round.
Get out of here. He went 24th. Their offensive line is actually going to be better. They have.
Oh, boy. He says the offense is better this year than it was last year.
Well, it all depends on Chubby Magoo's arm.
You leave me out of this.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to get sidetracked. I just want to. So 9, you like the under. He likes the over. Is that right?
I don't know if I like the under. There's 17 games. I mean, yeah. You get 2 against the Bengals. Don't they play the Jaguars? I think 9's a good number.
That's a good
number. I wouldn't take the over because I think Ben's arm could fall off.
There you go. They got Dwayne Haskins.
They were passes last year. What are they doing? So anyway, we're doing division by division resets, and we go through the win totals and the odds to win the division and the odds to win the Super Bowl. We try to find the best possible bets. If you somehow missed any of the AFCs, the best bet, Bills over. What would you guess the Bills win total is for 2021?
It should be 10.5.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it can't be 11. No. Oh, no. 11's
over,
insane.
Over.
You can bet the over, but no. Are you betting 11?
Yeah, I'll bet up to 12.
No, you won't.
17 games? Dude, look at their schedule. They're winning 14.
They very well could, but I mean, if you're setting it in mid to late May, I think 10.5 is a good place to start.
Okay, I'll take 10.5 now. It's going to go up to 11 or 11.5. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you want to watch on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, you can leave a mailbag question on YouTube. We will accept YouTube comment mailbag questions. That's how generous we're feeling this offseason. Mm-hmm. Also, you can get a mailbag question in by putting it on an Apple Podcast. 5-star review. That's the best place to do it. Even if it's a critical review, you can still do just 5 stars. Like, hey, I love the podcast, but stop doing this. For instance, Wilson, mailbag question from Name Redacted. You coward. Hey, Brinson, could you stop correlate every single? Okay.
Stop correlating.
I just want to add that I
read. He said it wrong. He said, I'm reading his sentence.
No, I want to add that
Yes, Devo, sorry.
I redacted the name because of its the nature of it.
Oh, he has like a filthy name?
Yeah, just something we probably shouldn't say on the Pick Six podcast.
Okay. Probably that thing that I said with the podcast me, you, and Sean did that I didn't know what it meant, and then I had to read this.
Awesome. Please delete that. Yeah, I got that one, so I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Some hey, Richard, could you stop correlate every single player evaluation / comment with a sports bet? We get it. You hit big on your golf parlay, but betting doesn't need to be talked about on literally every podcast episode, bud. Cheers from Dallas. P.S. Still waiting on that Finley tattoo.
I love the fact, like the most disrespect. He's true. He's exactly right. Even up to the point about the Finley tattoo, but the most disrespectful part is that he calls you bud. Like that's just a slap in the face.
It's almost as bad as when you call somebody pal.
Oh, listen, chief.
Pal.
Absolutely.
No, Chief or Hoth. That's the worst. But I knew anybody who called me that, I would probably hate them.
He's not wrong. Everything. I mean, look, your world revolves around you.
Talk about sports betting. I don't know what you want us to do.
Listen, me and Brie.
My whole feed on Twitter is it's hard to get me annoyed about sports betting. But I realized yesterday my entire feed is just like either people putting picks out there or videos of picks or like people like touting how they hit something or another. It's, and we're not even close to saturated. I'm telling you, we're not even close to the bubble.
So to review here, instead of hearing these comments from Redacted and saying, I wonder if this actually is true. Your response is, yeah, it could be worse.
No. My response is it is true. And it's not slowing down.
Okay.
This is a freight train with no brakes.
But you can do your part. This is like, you know, instead of...
What's my part?
He's telling you to quit talking about it all the time. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that you're responsible for everyone else's tweets on Twitter about...
Right, so I'm supposed to listen to Name Redacted instead of my bosses?
I don't think your boss is like you talking about your
gambling?
Golf parlays on the Pick Six podcast.
He's not talking about me talking about. I don't bring up golf parlays. He's talking about. He's saying every football discussion doesn't need to involve gambling.
Oh, like that? Okay. I'm a little.
Talking about me freaking out about a first round leader or something.
We get it. I quote though. We get it. You hit big on your golf parlay, but betting doesn't need to be talked about on literally every podcast episode, bud. So yeah, he is talking partly about that and partly about the other stuff.
Debo, am I wrong here? He's not talking about golf bets.
He just said it right there in the comment.
No. I'll stop talking about golf bets. That's fine.
In your defense, again,
I'll start tweeting him and tagging Wilson and at
right. Yeah, we do maybe, bring it up a lot.
I mean, Ryan, you remember the mock draft Mondays that we taped on Sundays, and Brinson would have a wandering eye to the television with some golf. I wonder if that's what Redacted is referencing.
Yeah, this very well could be.
Maybe I'm reading it wrong. I'm reading this as stop talking about betting as it relates to football on every single show.
But read the next sentence.
Good old-fashioned football talk.
He calls you bud in reference to the golf parlay talk. It's right there in black and white.
Okay. Well, at Name Redacted, let us know what you're talking about.
He just told us. I'm telling you.
He's not talking about golf betting. He's talking about betting. He doesn't want to hear, but he wants to hear just football talk.
I suspect he does not care about the conversation we had about the Steelers over under a moment ago. I suspect he cares way less about you're laughing about something.
The fact that like leading into this discussion, we had a breakdown of the Steelers win total.
Well, yeah. That stuff's not going to slow down. The golf stuff might a little bit.
It's not slowing down. It's
no, I think that Redacted is fine with the over under talk about the AFC North teams, for example.
I don't. Okay.
Fine. I guarantee you this much.
Another golf bet again.
Actually, I wish Name Redacted had said instead of golf, it said the Top Shot nonsense that I could get on board with.
Sure. Top Shot stinks.
Oof. Has that gone away yet?
No, it's just hit a... Speaking of freight trains that have run into a wall.
Hit a speed bump?
I would prefer to be out on Top Shot right now.
So that was a good two-week run. All right, what's next?
Yeah, you weren't wrong about Top Shot.
All right, hold on. One more thing, quickly, to belabor the point for Redacted. Debo, where are you at on Top Shots? You can give a short answer if you'd like.
Oh, I am very much with Brinson. That was... I could be driving a nice new car right now if I had not invested in Top Shot.
Oh, no. All right.
Do you know that Joe Bluth gif where he's sitting in the hospital?
I thought you meant in the shower.
Tiny mistake. that's us.
I think the Joe Bluth, not Job. what's his name? I thought you meant the Tobias crying in the shower gif.
That one works too.
That works too. Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to veer into some Top Shot discussion.
Well, I think the good news is that both you and Debo have cratered financially, and you'll quit talking about it. So that was a small price to pay for the rest of us.
I'm sure the market will bounce back at some point.
Oh, anytime. You're fine.
You want to talk about Bitcoin?
Oh, no. I don't.
All right. From Luff 49, mailbag. Love the show. Feels like the super friends have become my friends. We are your friends. If you listen to this podcast every day, we are friends. Believe me. Question. Whatever happened to the Brinson PFT commenter hockey bet from a few years ago?
Ooh.
The loser shaves Prisco's back.
Yikes.
Big fan of both shows, so would love to hear about it.
So, yeah, tell me about the hockey bet. I don't know this.
The Caps and the Canes were playing in... Oh,
we were in Nashville when that happened, right?
That's right. And PFT, Eric, if you will, is a big DC sports fan. And I'm obviously a big, huge hockey fan, huge Canes fan. Yeah. Having sounded the siren, I don't know if you know that, Wilson.
I don't know what that means.
So they have a big siren in the arena, the PNC arena, and they sound it before the game and during intermissions. And they were so desperate for local celebrities to sound the siren that they had.
Oh, it's like the 12th man thing they do at Seattle, but.
Yeah, basically that.
But more
important. My buddy John at the Canes emailed me and said, "Hey, do you want to sound the siren?" I was like, "You've got, you know, a doctor in Raleigh or someone that could do this."
So do they announce your name before you do it and all that and put your picture on the big screen and such?
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone know who you were?
I don't know. It was like a mid-season Wednesday, like regular season game. I've got a video. Robbie and I were watching the video of it the other night. That's why.
How have I not seen that video? That seems like something you would be blasting out on all your social media.
I'm a humble guy. I don't like to talk about it. Anyway,
Debo, on the Brinson peacocking scale, what do you think the peacock factor was on 1 to 10 after he did that?
Yeah, I'm shocked. I've never heard this story or seen it.
He was falling down or got an egg thrown at him or something.
It was like 4 years ago. Sometimes, yeah. I don't bring up my successes in life.
Yeah, sometimes. By the way, I'm the OG North Carolina hockey fan. I once saw a minor league hockey game in Dorton Arena.
Dorton Arena?
I also saw Ric Flair there in sixth grade.
You know that I believe in 1967, Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones.
Get out of here. There's no way.
Yeah.
That's a little crap box of an arena, too. Is it still around?
Dorton? They played together, I think. That's the story I've been told. I need to look it up. Anyway, PFT and I had that bet with Canes and Caps. I believe the Canes won the series.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, the next time.
Where's Pete on the bet? Is he okay with this?
Oh, no, that's what happened. Pete was mad. Pete's like, "You're not shaving my back. I don't have hair on my back. My back's clean. Clean and tan. Clean, tan, and."
Like, who's the winner in this? The person, not either the shaver or the shavee, just the person who.
The person who doesn't have to shave Prisco's back.
Do you have to watch it? Because that also would be some sort of punishment, I feel like.
That'd be kind of funny to watch. Like yeah. We get like, we'll get you and Big Cat can sit on Pete. Well,
do you have to oil him up first so he's not shaved?
No. It's a straight razor, no shave.
Oh my gosh.
Slicing Pete's back up left and right.
I love that Love 49 has been thinking about this enough to write it right in about it.
It's a good question. I forgot.
It's a very disturbing question.
We'll have to reach out to PFT and ask if we can. Are the Caps in the hockey playoffs?
Yeah, they're playing the Bruins right now.
Is there a chance that the Caps and Canes meet?
Noted hockey fan Will Brinson has no idea.
I only watch the Canes. I don't watch anything else. I'm really not a hockey fan, but I would like to see a bracket to see
if
the Caps and Canes can meet.
If they eventually keep winning, then yes.
Okay. So
at the latest, they could meet in the...
Finals?
In the conference finals.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Back on. I will reach out to...
By the way, you are not replacing Pete Blackburn with your lack of hockey knowledge. That has been established just now.
The Caps are down. Actually, we're not going to say that because this is Monday.
Right. Oh, yeah. Canes are up. Canes, as of... We're recording this on Thursday for whatever it's worth. Canes are up 2-0. And the Caps are down 2-1. So I'm now rooting for the Caps because I want Caps, Canes, Eastern Conference Finals. Is it Eastern Conference? That's not right.
Yes. Yes.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Hockey expert.
What country am I in?
What did I say? Seoul?
Your geography. I mean, you might know geography, but you don't know how to say geography.
The problem with recording these mailbag podcasts before the weekend is you feel a little loose because it's the end of the, you know, it's the end of the week. And then people are listening to this and like first thing on Monday morning. Like,
they're sitting in some hot train going to work, hating themselves, and like, please quit talking about Top Shot. Please.
Why is this guy won't stop talking about his bets? Favorite underrated quarterback season. This is from Devlat 95. Hey guys, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I try to listen to it every weekday. We appreciate that. What's your guys' favorite underrated quarterback season of either the past few years or just in general? This is a great question. For example, mine is Tony Romo's 2014 season, where he easily played like a top 2 to 3 quarterback and honestly should have gotten more love for the MVP that year. And some of his advanced stats were better than A-Rod's too. Love the show, Devin from Maryland. P.S. The Cowboys will win 10 games this year and win the division because one, defensive performance varies year to year more than offense, and two, no one ever repeats in the NFC East. And I'm sure the team with no name and no good quarterback is going to break the streak. It's a shot at Washington. I like it. Cowboys could easily win that division. And that Tony Romo is up there in terms of underrated quarterbacks of all time, honestly.
Yeah. Yep. And the issue was that people just hated him. Why do people hate Tony Romo?
It's because of the snap in Seattle in the playoffs.
He wasn't even starting then, I don't think. I think he was just a holder.
He was starting then.
That was 2006.
He had to be holder when he was starting.
I think that was 2006.
Well, Debo, you're a Tony Romo hater. Why do you hate our colleague Tony Romo?
I love all my coworkers, each and every one of them. I think the star in his helmet. If he played in Jacksonville, I would not dislike Tony Romo, the player.
Didn't Cowboys fans not like Tony Romo either? Or am I misremembering?
No. Cowboys fans liked him. He was not liked as a player because people wanted to believe he wasn't clutch, even though he had 24 fourth quarter comebacks and 29 game winning drives in his career.
Yeah, no, he was painted with what's the analogy, but to mess up. He was painted with a brush that didn't correctly portray what he really was as a player.
Yeah, people thought he was like a choker.
He was not like. Let me ask you this. And I'm sorry, Breach isn't here. We had to call him and get his thoughts as he's driving back from his vacation. Like, bigger choker, Andy Dalton or Tony Romo? I don't even think it's close.
It's not remotely close.
And Andy Dalton went to 5 straight playoffs to start his career or whatever.
Do you remember that game in, actually, it was probably 2014. Let's look up Tony Romo's game logs for 2014, where he and Peyton Manning, that'd be right. Yeah, 2014. He and Peyton Manning went,
like for like 10,000 yards in that one game.
It was insane. Maybe it was 2013,
but they lost. If I recall,
they lost. It was like 48-44, and they lost to Denver in Dallas. And everybody wanted to blame Tony Romo for the loss.
I think I actually wrote about that. 45
points.
In one of the interceptions, he actually stepped on his players.
Here it is. 48. Cowboys lost. Broncos won 51-48. It was October 6, 2013. Tony Romo went 25 of 36 for 506 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Had better numbers than Peyton.
Yep.
People wanted to blame Tony Romo for that loss. That was the breaking point for me, where I was like, all right, this enough of this nonsense.
I mean, he pretty limited playoff success. He played well on that final playoff start of his against Green Bay that they obviously end up losing, but for people to elevate him and have very, very limited playoff success, 2 playoff wins, I think that plays a role in it, starting with that Seattle game.
If you could point me to, I'm trying to see who's coaching Seattle. Or I guess that was Wade Phillips, right? I don't want to besmirch Wade Phillips. I like Wade Phillips too much. Oh, that's Parcells in 2006. That's right.
Yeah, Parcells, because Quincy, what's his name, was a quarterback at one point during that run. God, what's his name?
Quincy Carter.
Thank you, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. His playoff success is not – I think Romo is a – Romo just had this flair for these playground-style Yeah, he would extend plays. He was ahead of his time in terms of doing that, and I love it.
I mean, I understand some of the frustration because he did have some ill-timed turnovers, but you can say the same thing about Phillip Rivers. I remember specifically, I think it was 2008 season, the Cowboys should have beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and it may have actually been Jason Witten running the wrong route, but Tony Romo threw a pick six at the end that proved to be the difference, and it's a terrible interception. But again, I think afterwards, I think Jason Witten even said he did the wrong thing. But on the surface, in real time, you're like, oh my God, what is Tony Romo doing? And I think there's a lot of that in his career, fairly or not.
All right, my choice for most underrated season of all time. And I'll be honest, I got here because of there's some guy at PFF who the PFF social account's gotten kind of annoying, but they tweeted out there like this quote from some guy. His name sounds like trash. It's Triash. I don't know who he is. Like, I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, dude, if your name's Triash and you look like a 15-year-old, maybe don't call Tyreek Hill the best deep threat of all time, because I'm not sure if you're aware, there's this gentleman that exists, and his name is Randy Moss.
Deshaun Jackson. Oh.
Nice, D-Bow.
Ooh, that's good. But at any rate, Debo, do you have like a Nick Foles thing you want to do? Trying to jump Deshaun Jackson there?
No, I mean deep threats. He's not the best ever, but he's a pretty good one.
And this is actually the pick I was going to make is not Randy Moss's best season, but I was going to give Dante Culpepper credit for one of 2 years, either 2000 or 2004.
You're stealing. You're looking at the same thing I'm looking at.
What are you talking about?
You didn't just come off the top of your head.
We were talking about Randy Moss for 2 days on Twitter. Dante Culpepper, all you think about is Dante Culpepper doing the role down the field.
What's the role?
He would do the thing with
his own. Yeah, that, yeah.
Culpepper is a beast.
Yeah, actually, I was looking around and Culpepper came up.
I was just trying to think of quarterbacks that were fun as hell to watch, a la Tony Romo, who get no love whatsoever in terms of, you know, big play potential. I mean, like the league in passing in 2004. I mean, you could throw 2,000 if you want out there. Almost 4,000 passing yards in 2000. And I think that would hold up as, I mean, Randy Moss had 15 touchdowns and averaged 18.7 yards per catch. Maybe 2,000 just doesn't get enough love in terms of all-time watchable highlights from a quarterback and wide receiver duo. So I'm going to take Culpepper. But I just wanted to not do Phillip Rivers, you know, try to get off the brand.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm looking at the same thread, this Reddit thread. They had Culpepper was the first one there, so I'm going through some of these.
I'm not looking at a Reddit thread.
I know you're not. I'm sure you're not.
I'm looking at
PFR. But Brad Johnson's getting a little name check here. So look at old Brad Johnson. Do you know where he's from, by the way?
I don't know where Brad Johnson's from.
Same hometown as Brad Doherty. Everyone knows that.
Where's Brad?
Black Mountain, North Carolina. Come on.
Oh, really? I didn't know Brad Johnson in North Carolina again.
Oh, yeah, they're both, oddly, the 2 8-foot tall guy from the same hometown out in the mountains. But, so 2002 was the year that Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. Someone noted this as a underrated season. He completed 62% of his passes, not great. 3,000 yards, not great. 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. So I'm not willing to give him that. But I will say his 1999 season in Washington, he only completed 61% of his passes. He threw 4,000 yards. 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's underrated. How did that team do? Let's see. They went 10-6. Okay. I'm willing to put Brad on the map for that one. I mean, that doesn't rival Dante Culpepper, but I'm sort of looking for these not obvious answers. So I don't hate
you
that.
You got snaked on Culpepper and now you're trying to find something? Is that what's happening?
I'm just going through the list of the Reddit thread and seeing what they had there. Someone said 2009 Phillip Rivers. And I'm sure
the other one I was thinking about was Burt Jones's 1976 season.
Yeah, I'm on the same thread, dummy. I can see the same thing.
Is that really one? I'm on. Yes. Wait, no, that's not really one on there.
Yeah, it is 100%.
I don't know who Burt Jones is.
Oh, yeah, he played for the Colts. Let's see. I have the stats right here. Let's see if I'll pull it up, if it'll pull it up for me. Well, where is it? They had the link to PFR. Let's see. Jones 7. So, yeah. What is this stat there? Adjusted net yards per attempt index. So that's one of these stats you can sort on Pro Football Reference, Burt Jones is seventh. So Peyton Manning's first, Dan Marino's second, Aaron Rodgers third. Nick Foles is fourth, baby. Take that. Again, adjusted net yards per attempt. 100 is average. This is just the PFR stat here.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers, Nick Foles is fourth. Tom Brady's fifth. Then it's Mark Rippon, who played for Washington. Then Burt Jones, Joe Montana, Matt Ryan, Steve Young. So, yeah, Burt Jones. 1976 season. You're right.
I sorted by approximate value.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Burt Jones is 12th. And I was joking about Burt Jones.
So that season, Baltimore were 11-3, the Colts at the time. And he threw for 3,100 yards, only 60% completion, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So I think something else we have to consider is
Culpepper's 2000 season, 9th all time in approximate value by a quarterback.
Wow. I think something else we have to remember about the old timey guys is that the rules are so different that you can mug the receivers, that you could body slam the quarterbacks. And that probably had something to do with completion percentage.
So there's probably an argument to be made for one of several Drew Brees seasons. No problem there. If Breach were on here, he'd be talking about Boomer Esiason's 88 season. Not enough people talk about it. He only won MVP.
Ken Anderson is on one of these lists as well.
He's 27th that 1982 season. I think, Debo, this is before your time, but you're such an old soul that I have no concerns about you knowing it. Randall Cunningham, 1990.
Oh, yeah. Then he got hurt the next year.
That's right.
I think Randall Cunningham is now a preacher in Las Vegas. Am I making that up?
Wow.
Oh, that's right, Ryan.
Wow. Look at that. The random stuff that I know.
I think 90s when he had the 91-yard punt.
Oh, that's right. Good call.
He should be on the list for that punt alone.
I think that in 5 to 10 years, you could probably add Cam Newton's 2015 to the most underrated list. I don't think people appreciate it.
By the way, Cam's
out of the game.
Yeah, I'm reading through this.
Those of us who watched it know how good it was.
I'm reading through this Reddit thread, and this is a funny comment. Whenever someone mentions Culpepper and talking about the 04 season, as you were, this person writes, I remember the only NFL game I've ever been to was his one win for Miami in 06. That 06 team was terrible with Nick Saban. And his top receiver.
It wasn't Saban. That was
who was it?
Saban was gone, right?
No, he was there 06.
Saban could have had
Drew. 06, but then
the guy came in with the glasses that Joey Porter called a loser in front of the whole
team. Cam Cameron,
yeah, who won one game. But he said the top receiver on that team was Wes Welker.
Wow.
That's so.
Here's an interesting underrated season that, again, in 5 to 10 years, I think we might be able to make the list. Jared Goff, 2018.
That was the Super Bowl year or before the Super Bowl year?
That was before the let's see.
That was Super Bowl year.
Yeah. That was the roll year.
Remember, they had the crazy shootout on Monday night with the Chiefs. And then,
but then January, he started sucking. I think late December into the postseason, he got bad.
RG3, 2012.
Yeah, before he got hurt. And then
he was incredible that year.
That whole thing with him and Mike Shanahan going at each other through the media, which is incredibly weird. But yeah, no, that's right. He was before his time.
I think you could throw Rich Gannon, our colleague Rich Gannon, 2002.
Someone put 2017 Mike Glennon on the Reddit list. What did Mike Glennon do? Is that when he made himself all that money? No, it wasn't. It wasn't Mike Glennon. It was who was the other the Louisiana quarterback with blonde hair who plays forever? He actually played for the Eagles last year, didn't he, Debo?
Are you talking about Chase Daniel, Missouri?
No. His brothers played. God, I'm so old. I can't remember people's
Louisiana name. Quarterback.
He was from Louisiana, I think. I think he's from Louisiana. I have to look it up. You guys can continue on. I think he had a big year for the Jaguars. Blank. And the Bears signed him.
Chad.
Not Chad Henne.
Louisiana quarterback.
I think he grew up in Louisiana. I don't think he went to LSU.
He had a big year for the Jaguars and the Bears signed him?
I'm doing the math. I can't remember all this stuff. Just keep talking.
McCown?
Yes, McCown.
Oh, he's from Texas, I think.
So I think Tampa Bay, he won like 8 games or something. He went 8-1 and parlayed that into a big deal. Is that what it was?
No, he had a big year. Remember, Cutler got hurt and McCown replaced him with Chicago. And he won NFC Player of the Week.
And then he went to Tampa Bay.
Correct. And he was into a payday, and now he's developed into the nice guy assistant coach type.
He was on the Eagles in 2019. He actually played played in a couple games.
He replaced Wentz when Jadeveon Clowney had that dirty ass hit in the playoffs. he almost won that playoff game.
Flag in sight.
He almost won. Yeah, he went 1-10 with Tampa.
My problem here is I will not mention anything about Phillip Rivers, even though he deserves a nod on this list. Alex Smith, 2017.
Yeah, that was a good year. So just to put a bow on this, McCown only went 3-2 with the Bears in 2013. And then, as Debo just mentioned, he went 1-10 with the Buccaneers the following year. I think they signed him to a 2-year deal for a lot of money, and he was cut after 1 year. He went 1-10 that year, and he started 10, 18, 21 more games. Oh, he actually went 5-8 1 year for the Jets.
That's how they ended up getting Jameis off of that 1-10 season.
That's why they tanked their bees off at the end of that season.
Because McCown actually, I think, was crying by the end of the season during some of the press conference. He was so frustrated with how poorly they were playing.
Do you want to force a Donovan McNabb season on here, Debo,
before we get out? Just his whole career.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, all right, one more, and then we'll go. Our buddy Matt Schaub,
led the league in passing.
First NFL guest on the Old School Fanhouse podcast. 4,700 passing yards in 2009, 29 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 67.
Two questions for you, Ryan. One, do you know who his offensive coordinator was?
In 2009?
Without looking.
I don't. Chris Palmer?
Kyle Shanahan.
In 2009 it was?
When he led the league in passing, it was Kyle Shanahan.
2009? I don't know
that. And two, what does Matt Schaub call?
Power alleys.
That's right. The bald streaks running up. Those are my power alleys. Have we asked him about being bald, man? 2000. What a time to be alive.
We asked him about being bald. We asked him about,
like, hey, what's up with you being so bald? He's like, hey, settle down, fellas. Those are my power alleys.
We asked him about almost killing that woman at the pro-am.
Oh my God, you're right. You can ask anybody anything at 2009. Yeah. You ask somebody about being bald right now, they punch you.
Like, well, it's like, you're bald.
I am. Sir, I am not. I promise you that. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll answer more mailbag questions.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was a great question, by the way. Good underrated NFL seasons. We should do a whole
underrated mailbag question.
Yeah, perfectly rated. Mailbag from 89101 Gaucho. I love the keen NFL information along with the anecdotal humor. Derek Carr seemed to flourish in empty stadiums in 2020. Oh, no. Crowds were not able to rattle him into mediocrity as in past seasons. This is not written by us. I anticipate a pedestrian season once fans return and can jostle this sensitive quarterback. What do the Super Friends opine? Am I allowed to Fifth Amendment this?
Are you allowed to do what?
Plead the fifth?
Why? You've been crushing the cars for 15 years now. Why would you suddenly quit talking about it?
I mean, I'm trying to be a nicer person, you know?
Okay. Well, they blocked you, so they won't hear this either way. This feels like something that Breach may have brought up on occasion.
Breach stole it from somebody and keeps bringing it up.
He must have stole it from Gaucho here. But yeah, it's an interesting theory, and I want to see how this plays out because there were conversations about everything leading up to the draft, but there were some thoughts that maybe if one of those guys, Justin Fields or whoever, had fallen to Las Vegas and they were dead set on Alex Leatherwood, they might have taken a quarterback. So I don't know. Like, Derek Carr's good, but I'm also the same person a year ago that said Marcus Mariota was going to be the starter for the team and take him to the playoffs. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I don't have the vitriol for the Carr family as Brinson does, But there have been instances in his career where he's done things where you're like, okay, that those raise some questions. That said,
I got blocked by David for pointing out that Derek spiked a ball in the turf on fourth down. Which, I mean, I'm not a professional quarterback, but you just don't do that.
Yeah, but if I'm David, I'm like, you know what? I don't need this animosity in my life.
He tagged CBS. It was on this. And he tagged like big CBS, like CBS, the broadcast network.
Oh, he called you out specifically?
No, he quote tweeted. It was like, at CBS, your analyst doesn't know what he's talking about.
So,
yeah. Well, you don't know how to tweet, bro.
Okay.
Derek Carr's made three Pro Bowls.
Is he a top 12 quarterback? I think he's right there on the line.
I mean, I think that Derek Carr is a rich man's Andy Dalton.
I think that's fair. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have
Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr?
That's close. Probably I'm leaning towards Kirk Cousins a little bit.
Yeah.
Would you rather have on the Steelers, Big Ben or Derek Carr?
This year?
Yeah, right now.
I mean, I'll ask you that.
I think I'd rather have Derek Carr. Would you rather have Cam Newton or Derek Carr in New England?
I think Bill Belichick would rather have Derek Carr.
Yeah, so I think he's top 12 quarterback. Now, I think some of the blame it probably falls on John Gruden because I don't know what he's up to half the time. Like, he could just be like the crazy scientist.
Right, man, says, me either, bro.
But we'll see. The other issue for Derek Carr is whether there's zero people in the stands or 80,000 people is that he plays in a division where they're not going to have much of a chance because of some of the personnel decisions they've made versus what the personal decisions the other teams have made, especially if the Broncos, in my heart of hearts, I hope, get Aaron Rodgers.
If the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers, John Gruden may panic trade Derek Carr.
But what's the, like, why? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I just panic. The thing about Derek, look, he's got three straight 4,000-yard seasons. He has two other seasons in 2015 and 2016 where he could have easily had 4,000 yards. He's like 13 and 63 yards short. He routinely throws for 20 plus touchdowns and he doesn't throw many picks. Right. But he's scared to throw into tight windows.
He is not. We were just talking about Tony Romo. He is the anti-Tony Romo.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. He can extend plays, but not as much as you would hope he would. He doesn't want to hold on to the ball. He doesn't want to take shots down the field. He doesn't want to throw into tight windows, and that's okay. He is a functional NFL quarterback, and I don't know that.
Would you rather have, if you're David Tepper, would you rather have him or Sam Darnold?
I would rather have Sam Darnold. Eesh, just for the upside. You know what Derek Carr is.
I don't know what Sam Darnold is. Man.
Is he 30 yet?
He's close.
He is just turned 30 on March 28th.
Happy birthday. Yeah. You earned it.
I mean, Derek. Anyway, let's move on. I don't want to bash Derek Carr, so I can tag him.
So are they going to – I don't think the crowd's going to matter as much as the fact that they play in the AFC West.
Also, I mean, I guess those are home crowds. I was thinking about Las Vegas crowds. Are those going to be
– The Las Vegas crowds will be pro Derek Carr, and I would imagine that the Chargers crowds will be pro Raiders.
Did you see where the Raiders are putting a DJ in their stands?
I love that.
Yeah. But you can buy
I hope, please let it be Debo. What's Mark Davis's DJ name? Because I hope.
I don't know. What's been popping up on your Spotify? Any DJs?
Oh, let me see. DJ Buttcut. That's what I'd call him.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Spitting
records.
DJ French Fry.
That's pretty good. Yeah, French Fry. That's right. What's on the old Spotify?
You know, if you remember that in Arizona, he's just sitting there in that white outfit
by himself wearing white.
Spooning, just danger, living so dangerous with that ketchup just hanging over this white jumpsuit. Like
10 p.m. Yeah. At Ruby Tuesdays or wherever we were sitting outside of.
Yeah, and that man loves him some P.F. Chang's too.
What is Polo G, Debo? That's something that's popped up here.
That's a up and coming rapper.
All right. I have no idea where he gets.
Remind me to tell you my Steve Aoki story, but not on this podcast.
Okay.
Oh, we're just running long. It involves me and EK and sheet cakes.
Oh, I've heard that story. I thought you meant you saw him with Pudger.
I think you've told that on the pod.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's the party I didn't get invited to, Debo. They left me behind. Hmm. Whatever.
Will O'Burnhill says, breach jokes. Sorry. He was supposed to be anonymous. Might be. You're a Great Britain. You're fine. Anonymous, if the game is going to grow abroad, you can't just send dead games abroad. The UK fans know what's going on and will be way more interested in a game with playoff implications. Love the show and will continue even if you ignore all of us UK fans. First of all, do we ignore UK fans? I feel like we embrace. We love our UK fans. You guys, I'm a huge fan of anyone who doesn't live. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Americans, obviously, but a huge fan of anyone who doesn't live in America, who loves football and embraces the game, because there is clearly this distinct passion for football that doesn't just come with sort of like a, you know, rite of passage. Like you grow up watching football. Like UK fans who love football, and it comes across in the emails and tweets and reviews that we get. So if you feel like we're ignoring you, it's really just like when my wife thinks I'm being mean, I'm just sort of an a-hole.
Yeah. I don't know if this person means you in particular or the fact they send the doo-doo games over.
Oh, well, he said, even if you ignore all of us UK fans, I agree with him completely. The NFL wants to, we got to grow the game abroad. Stop giving them the Jaguars.
So I'm looking back in recent history. I'm trying to find, like, 2019, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, there were 5 games. So you have a chance for a decent game. Panthers beat the Buccaneers 37-26. But I mean, 2019, that was Jameis Winston. There was no Tom Brady there at that point. 2018, the Eagles went over there and beat the Jaguars. But again, you're playing the Jaguars. Seahawks played the Raiders in 2018. That's a pretty good game. But they haven't been right. Oh God, I remember this Ravens Jaguars game, 44-7. The Jaguars beat the doo doo out of the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, you're also part of the problem too for these games is that you're asking these guys to play these games way off schedule. You know, they're playing them at 9:30 in the morning on their body clock, even if they've been over there for a week. But I agree. I mean, I don't think that the NFL teams treat these London games, I would say, just in generally speaking, that the teams who are forced to go to London, they wouldn't go.
Jaguars put their hand up, but yes,
they're forced to go to London. They're forced to go to these international games, and they don't treat them. You know, sometimes, you know, I think John Harbaugh has been really good about embracing it. In particular, you know, I thought Big Ben and the Steelers were, you know, you see enthusiasm from some of the players, but it doesn't. It comes across as sort of a chore for these NFL teams, and as a result. You know, it's not a reward for him. As a result, the NFL sends crap games over there.
So this year's games are going to happen October 10th and October 17th. Only 2 games this year. The Jets are playing the Falcons and the Dolphins are playing the Jaguars.
I mean, what is that?
Tua and Trevor has a chance to be interesting, but Tua didn't look great last year. We don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be. Zach Wilson against Matt Ryan. I mean, who's getting excited about that? These games will sell out because they always do.
The interesting thing is the Cowboys Eagles game over there, and I was going to say, sucks, but whatever.
The Mexico games get the better games. It's obviously,
yeah, because Mexico's 30-minute flight away,
and the Chiefs Rams game was supposed to be there, except the field was in terrible condition, so they missed out on that opportunity for a 300-point fest.
Wait, was that right? It was Chiefs Rams was supposed to be London.
No, it was supposed to be in Mexico. My point is that they can get good games in other countries. It's just a matter of the logistics of getting them to London.
They need to send a Chiefs Ravens game over there.
Right. That's right.
Send them a big boy.
Or even Chiefs Raiders. That I would love to see over there.
Sure. Send the Chiefs there. Just give Patrick Mahomes for a week.
Because John Gruden, I think he had some issues about the jet lag. He had some weird thing about jet lag.
I remember he complained at his, because his son, Deuce Gruden, is an international weightlifter.
Oh, okay.
And he said, oh, I went on this trip with Deuce and I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. It was brutal. I hate these things. Shut up and go play. Guy?
Bud?
Pal? Nah, but I mean, our UK buddy is not wrong. We don't. The NFL talks about growing the game and then doesn't put a big boy up there. Play in the middle of the night, like 10, like, I don't know, whatever time it would have to be in London for it to be prime time for, you know, make it a big to do.
Yeah. So the Premier League games come on starting around 8 a.m. Eastern time here. So that makes it like noon to 1 there. And then they have games that could go all the way. Sometimes they start, you know, noontime here. So 5 or 6 there. So
there's always Premier League games on in the afternoon here.
Yeah.
But they need to, it needs to be a singled out spot where it's not, you know, 1 p.m. because 1 p.m. you don't really notice. I don't know. Anyway, send him a big boy game is the point. Our podcast listener is correct about everything he's saying.
Yep.
All right. From our Pick Six podcast. Oh, it's from our buddy at Pick Six Pack on Twitter. He sent me and Debo this question. This is a good one. Question for the Pick Six Pod mailbag. You can tweet us with questions. I'll be honest, I'm not really reading much of my mentions, so don't tweet me. Tweet at Pick Six Pod on Twitter. Follow it if you don't already. And of course, follow on Instagram where it's the best. What current NFL coach do each of the super friends, including Debo, relate to the most, i.e. personality, work ethic, etc.? Well, work ethic. John Gruden? Just kidding. Gruden works hard.
I'm 100% Cliff Kingsbury. I'm supermodel. Live in a house with no furniture and don't wear socks.
Yeah. You're definitely not Cliff Kingsbury.
I'm probably closer to Mike Zimmer in terms of my temperament.
That's actually a good one.
I would say Mike Vrabel for Ryan, because he like risks things being done to his body on a whim without anybody prompting him.
I'll take Vrabel. That's a compliment for sure.
Yeah, Vrabel was the first one that popped to mind for me. Not that I think I'm Mike Vrabel, just
because you have people taking dumps in your house with the door wide open while you.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of loosey goosey, cool with whatever, you know. I would say, all right, Debo, who do you think you are? First of all, let's come over Breeches.
Yeah,
obvious answer is Zach Taylor.
I think Breeches Pete Carroll. Like, he's incredibly upbeat about everything.
Oh, that's a good call.
He probably wears white sneakers with slacks.
The world is burning around him. He's like clapping and chewing gum, and he's wearing khakis. And
yeah, I think he's Pete Carroll.
That's a great call. Any other? Breach would tell you that he's Sean McVay.
Right.
He's not. He's not.
He looks in the mirror. He thinks he sees Brad Pitt. He's Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's handsome for an older man, but let's be real.
I mean, Pete Carroll's almost 70 years old. I hope I look like Pete Carroll.
Oh, he's doing it right for sure.
I know who I think. I got it. The two for me that I think would fit, either Sean Payton or Bruce Arians.
Sean Payton. Oh, I thought you were saying the other Sean, LA Sean.
No, not Sean McVay. Sean Payton or Bruce Arians. I mean, pretty laid back, but gets kind of intense. And
yeah, no, I can see that. Bruce Arians is not afraid to have a drink in his hand at all times, and he embraces that idea.
Yeah, exactly. Cocktail in hand. Will probably smack talk you.
Yeah, no, I could buy that.
Okay.
All right, who's Debo?
Well, I think I was looking at for Debo. Debo's just like whoever's running the Eagles.
No, I don't want to, at this point, don't want to be compared to Sirianni. I mean, I was thinking, you guys know I'm very optimistic as well. So Carroll was a good one, but probably a little less energetic than Mr. Pete Carroll.
and Mr. John Brady.
What Debo doesn't want to say is Cliff Kingsbury.
Frank Reich?
That's like, too laid back. I was
thinking that too.
Like, that might be too laid back.
Refuses to give up on Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very optimistic. Believes in himself.
I think like Matt Rhule fits, but I think he might be like Debo's not that outwardly optimistic. Like Matt Rhule feels like he's, and he hasn't done anything yet. And I think Frank Reich's the way to go.
Wilson could be Matt Nagy.
Ugh. God, what a slap. Because he's bald. Wearing that
visor inside, pal.
wall plaster with tight end names.
I could see you. You know who you are, Wilson?
I think I'm Mike Zimmer.
No. You're not that. Mike Zimmer fits, but I think you might be Sean McDermott. Intense.
He is actually pretty
funny.
Bald.
William & Mary guy. Bald.
I'll take Sean McDermott.
It's not an insult. It's a compliment.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking if he would be insulted, he might be, but that's okay.
Or you went up to him and was like, "Hey, Sean, remember me from William & Mary? Someone get this guy away from me."
That's what happened.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, who are you as an offensive coordinator, Ryan? In NFC East offensive coordinator, anybody ring a bell?
NFC East?
Are you calling him Jason Garrett?
I would never.
Who else is there? Like, who are the other NFC offensive coordinators that Debo's trying to point me to?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, that was Jason Garrett.
Oh my goodness.
That's the top rope. Oh,
what a big jam.
And the funny
dunkaroo.
You can hear it now.
The dunk button was here the whole moment.
You got the full dunk.
The thing is, and I was actually scrolling through the names, and I was going to say his quiet nature reminded me of Mike McCarthy, but I didn't want to do the Debo. Then he just came out of nowhere with the Jason Garrett. He slung the dead cat Jason Garrett around and hit me in the face with it. All right, so let's see. Good.
We're done. Mailbag's over.
Who's Pete Prisco?
Pete would tell you that he's...
he might be Mike Zimmer.
Yeah. He would tell you that he's this, like, offensive genius.
Because there's not a lot of, like, Bruce Arians yells and screams a little bit, but there's not a lot of old-timey yeller screamer coaches anymore.
Pete's Mike Zimmer.
I think so.
Yeah. Right. Or Vic Fangio.
He doesn't yell and scream, though.
He does more than you think.
All right.
He would tell you, Pete's Adam Gase.
He and Adam Gase are buddies, so maybe.
All right, that's it. That's the mailbag. Thanks for listening. NFC division by division resets coming up. We'll have John Breach back at some point whenever he gets off his vacation. For Ryan Wilson, I'm Bo Brinson. See you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.